She's the one that's supposed to be crying, not me. Thank you, Lord. This young lady, I know personally. So I can tell you, she's the one who, I want to say, gave me the way, if you will. So I'm here because of her. Amen. So before I start bawling, please welcome Elder Gene Freshler.
Praise God, saints. Praise God. Thank you, Elder Husband Don, for truly, it was a truth that I heard from, that God gave the pastor when he said that Cece got the overflow from his love, his relationship with God. And I knew that's what I wanted in my marriage, because my sister liked for nothing. God supplied her every need, and I knew that if I came in agreement with the truth, that he was not a respecter of person. So I took those words, I put them on my refrigerator. I confess that my husband would love God more than he loved me. I was willing to stand in that order so that I would be in a continuous overflow of the love of God. And I can tell you, it's still pouring out even now. So I thank God that his truth does set us free. Go with me in prayer. Father God, we honor you as we continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. For your word is truth, Lord. Sanctify us by your truth. From the giver of your word to the hearer of your word, let us all be doers of your word, O Lord God. I thank you that at this very moment that you have called this servant to bring forth a word to your people, O Lord. I come in agreement with the Holy Spirit, who you have already said is the Spirit of truth. Loose my tongue by the Spirit of truth, that I may edify, strengthen, correct, rebuke, and give a due rhema word in this hour, so that you will be glorified and your people edified. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 It is truth time for the people of God. But we have to be on God, because 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert, be on watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Now, that's the Good News translation, and that's the spiritual truth. And when I read that, I think about Judas. And here's a little illustration that reminds me of Judas. Once the devil was walking around walking along with one of his buddies. They saw a man ahead of them. He picked up something shiny and valuable. What did he find? The devil cohort said. A piece of the truth, the devil replied. Doesn't it bother you that he found a piece of the truth? Asked the cohort. No, said the devil, not at all. I will see to it that he makes a religion out of it to serve his own selfish needs. So let us be careful, ever so watchful, because we can be called, we can be among the inner circle, be in the very presence of truth, and not believe and not live by truth. So it's truth time for the body of Christ. And I ask you to ponder these questions. What are we doing with the truth that we find, that we discover? Does it glorify God or self? Does our life reflect the truth that we believe? And are we living according to the word of God or according to our own opinions and the worldly influences around us? Without truth, we are destined to live in darkness and be susceptible to lies. Because how we live is fundamental to what we believe as truth. So today, we're going to go mainly, we'll be in the book of John. And I ask you to go to John, the 18th chapter. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your word. And we're going to take a look at Pilate's question, and we're going to ponder on it for a few minutes. And you will find we will start at the 18th chapter and the 37th verse. And I'll be reading from the NIV version. "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus said, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth." Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." Let us ponder on the question, what is truth? To know the perception of truth, the power of truth, and the personality of truth, I believe the Bible gives us enough information about truth so that we can answer these questions ourselves. In fact, as I stated earlier, we will be in the book of John to examine these truths. And of the 222 verses, the Bible that contains the word truth, 10% are found in the Gospel of John. The passage that I just read may have been the last intimate personal conversation that Jesus had with another individual before he was crucified. In this exchange between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, we see two men with opposing plans. Pilate came across as one who was agitated, as having been placed in the middle of what seemed as a religious dispute between the Jews. His sarcasm and short answer revealed his irritation. Jesus, on the other hand, used this conversation to reveal his true identity to Pilate. When asked if he was really the king of the Jews, Jesus didn't pull no punches, but responded with the affirmative. He knew who he was. And if we know the truth, then we ought to know who we are. Then Jesus tells Pilate that his mission in coming to the world was that of going to the cross and dying to bear witness to the truth. At this point, we're pondering the question now. Pilate asked the question that was born out of pure cynicism. He asked Jesus, "What is truth?" A rhetorical question. Pilate did not really want an answer because what? He didn't wait around for one. In essence, he was telling Jesus, what is true for you may not be true for me. You may say tomato, I may say tomato. Don't talk to me about the truth, for the truth cannot really be known. So Pilate did something that so often you and I have done, maybe on many occasions. He threw away a glorious opportunity to come to know the truth for himself. He looked truth straight in the face. Eye contact. When you ask someone, are you a king? You're not looking at their feet. You're looking in their eyes. The same way Jesus looks at our heart when the truth is presented to us. There is a proper response. But like Pilate, he turned and walked away. Again, how many times have you and I did the same? But for the amazing grace of God. Hallelujah. 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 From where we once was, without, to where we are now with, is amazing grace. It's truly amazing grace. So the perception of truth. Pilate's question leads me to believe that he had no grasp on the truth. Perhaps because in his day there were so many philosophers, and maybe his thinking had become jaded, that the truth was unknowable, unattainable. Evidently, Pilate had come to believe what many in his day believe, that there was no absolute truth. We're in the same shape in America today. We're living in a day when almost no one believes in absolute truth. May 25th of this year, the Bonner Research Group, which has been doing researches for over 30 years, to kind of have a finger pulse on faith in America, in the people. So they did a sampling, and the research title was End of Absolutes, America's New Moral Code. It's May 25th of this year that it was released. And it revealed that Christian morality is being ushered out of American social structures and off the cultural main stage, leaving a vacuum in its place. And the broader culture is attempting to fill the void. Even then, in Jesus' day, because the word says there's nothing new up under the sun. There's nothing new. It happened then, and it's happening now. It's just continuing to intensify. It is intensifying to the point that the research showed that 60% of adults agree that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Even more alarming is the fact that 59% of practicing Christians stated truth is absolute, and 28% think that truth is relative. That is, they believe that what is true for one person may not be true for another. And 14%, still talking about practicing Christians, that they surveyed never thought about it. Never thought about absolute truth. Even though this is a small sampling, it is profound, and it identifies the need for biblical teaching on truth. And I understood why when he gave me the word truth, live by the truth. Tell them to live by the truth. Well, we believe in you, Jesus. Pick up the word from Genesis 1 to Revelations 21, 22, and live by the truth. Amen. Amen. If I say water is wet, and if you don't believe in absolute truth, then you might say, no, to me, water is dry. But just because you believe it with all your heart does not make it so. Because truth is something that is always true. Truth flows from God. Abraham Lincoln once used a very clear, clever ploy to teach some people truth. They had come to him with a decision that was based on supposition rather than truth. After hearing the logic, Lincoln asked, "How many legs would a sheep have if you were to call its tail a leg?" They quickly answered, "Five." The president then said, "No. It would only have four legs. Calling a tail a leg doesn't make it one." So being a Christian, a Christ follower, you can say you're a Christian. But if you're not living the truth, applying the truth, being the truth, so that the world can know and glorify God, you're just an empty, dark vessel with a superficial relationship with the Lord. But mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Because every time that you hear the truth is an opportunity to get it right again. That's love. That is a love that is so unconditional that you and I are incapable to have that kind of love unless we are abiding in the word, holding on to every teaching of the word, struggling, limping, going sideways, going this way, but we are holding on, abiding in the word of God so that we can be free to live according to what God has called us to do. Thank you, Lord. Because you see, I, for one, believe in absolute truth. I believe absolute truth can be known, learned, and taught to others. In fact, I'm holding absolute truth. And I say to you right now that you have it in your hands, too. Whether it be by mobile device, hard copy, written on the tablets of your heart, because that's where God said that he would put his word by his spirit on the tablets of your heart. But you have to receive it. You can't reject it. You have to practice it, and you need to experience a revelation of it so that the truth will be powerful in your life. Not for you, but that so God can be glorified. And the person who has been watching you, saying all manners of things about you, will be put to shame, because the God you glorified is the essence, the embodiment of truth. To God be the glory. You know, we have help. And when I say we, I'm talking about those who have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who has taken that leap of faith to say, yes, Lord, because the task was made easier with the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yes. See, Jesus tells us 3 times in John's Gospel that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. We can find it in John 14, 17. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. And I'll read the 16. I'll start at the 15 verse. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. This is truth. Do you believe it? Let us live like we believe it. Go to John 15, 26. Thank you, Lord. For the word of God says, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it even gives us a little job to do. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Hallelujah. The truth. John 16, 13 is especially important. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. Hallelujah. For the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, will reveal the things of God, thus teaching us the truth. Therefore, as believers are in far better position to learn truth because the Spirit of truth who lives within us. Sad, for the world, on the other hand, has a spirit within them that blinds them to the truth. How do I know that? Because truth says it. Go to 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. That's what truth says. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Truth says the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. This is truth. This is not what man says, But this is the very essence of God speaking to us, because he says in John 17:17 that his word is truth. So I encourage you, from the very moment that you pick up the word, don't wait to believe. 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 Believe it. Believe it with your whole heart. The Bible is not a buffet that we go to in times of crisis to feel good, and then when he leads us to a scripture that corrects us or rebukes us, we become offended and sit down and put it down and do like Pilate and turn and walk away. Truth. Jesus prayed for us because he knew that he was leaving us in this world. And he knew that the only way that we could sustain and exist with hope was through truth. He is truth. So even with what's going on now, no matter who the president-elect puts as his chief strategist, know the truth. Know that your truth is the high priest. He's your strategist. Hallelujah. 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 He sets kings in places. He will humble the heart of any man. He'll use them like Pharaoh to draw his people back to him. Stay with the truth. Stay with the truth. Jesus believed in absolute truth. Remind me of Elder Barbara. I used to love to hear her say, truth time. As a matter of fact, Elder Barbara, when I got that word, truth time, I was going to call you and tell you that the message was for you to bring. But to God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. He believed, Jesus believed in absolute truth. Because almost 2 years from this date, I was ordained as an elder. The only person that wasn't present with me was the one who died that same day. I had to dig deep into truth. And when he revealed to me that I didn't leave my own son in the pit for more than 3 days, neither will I leave you. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up, Gene. Do you believe the truth? Yes, Lord. So it's been a journey to be wrapped, to examine my heart with the truth. Because this is the truth that our hope hinges on. That Jesus came into this world. He lived. He died to bear witness to that truth. Yes, there is such a thing as truth, regardless of what the world says. The truth can be perceived and it can be known. That is why he has given us the Great Commission to go. To go. Don't sit and soak. Get up and go. How will they know the truth if you do not go and share the truth? The songs today was a confirmation to me from the Lord I only ask for one song, I Adore You, Lord, because it spoke volumes to me. But what he gave, he's a mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a holy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've seen the light, so I'm going all the way. All the way. I challenge you to draw the line. Don't pick and choose. Don't let the heart, what's hard to understand in the word, turn you away. Believe it. Believe it because of who Jesus is. Believe it for who God is and for what he is doing. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The perception of truth. Let's look at the power of truth. You see, not only does Jesus tell Pilate that there is such a thing as absolute truth, he also tells him that this truth has power. Because truth, when it is perceived, touches the heart of God's elect and draws them. Amen. So you didn't choose to come to God by yourself. If you think you did, like I once thought I did, I fooled myself for a long, long time. It caused me to have a very superficial relationship. A very superficial relationship. That's why I say grace and mercy should make us all just drop on our knees and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just because of grace and mercy. Just because. When they come to him and embrace the truth, they will experience its power in their lives. Notice the power that is contained in this absolute truth. It's our scripture for the week, John 8, 31 to 32. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your truth. Thank you, Lord. Oh, he's a good God. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When Jesus said this, he was telling his hearers that abiding in his word, holding to the truth, applying the truth, living out the truth of his teaching, that this truth had the power to deliver them from the bondage, from their bondage to sin and the law. It would literally set them free in Jesus. The same for you and I. When we come to know, to live the truth, we come to know something that sets us free. Our eyes are open. Hallelujah, Jesus. The truth heals broken hearts. It transforms shattered lives and fills us with the love of God, the peace of God, and the joy of God. So we could stop right here and take out the examination mirror of God's word and examine for yourself what your life looks like. And you can answer the struggles, the difficulties that seem like Groundhog Day to you. If it repeats itself from day to day, from month to month, to year, get back in the word. read it, believe it, don't reject it, apply it, and in all your applying, keep asking him for revelation so that that power can work itself out. And you can tell when it's happening to you because there's a glow about your life. There's a joy of the Lord that when you enter wherever you go, that it shakes the atmosphere up. People want to talk to you. People that never said they prayed want you to pray for them. Because there is a light that illuminates that's called truth that covers you. Because he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. That's truth. So if you believe truth, you can be bold when you're scared. You can have a sound mind when it looks like it may be confusing. You can be courageous to stand for what is truth. When the world is saying, no, tolerance is the way we're going to go so that we all can get along. Know the truth. Jesus was not about tolerance. He called a hypocrite a hypocrite. He called a viper a viper. All while loving the person. Because what we have to come to realize as we live the truth is that the truth offends those in darkness. It brings peace and comfort and joy to those who are thirsty and seeking for truth. It opens up their eyes. You may take it and you can put it on the shelf right now, and I guarantee you that he'll send you back to it to pick it up. Because his word does not return void. These are truths that you have to believe. Not cherry picking. Not chicken picking. Not emotional picking. But truth picking. Truth believing. So we see that the truth has power to liberate. The truth also has power to separate. John 17, 17. This will always stand out as the scripture that he knew that changed my life. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. In this passage, Jesus is praying for his disciples and for us too. As he does, he asks the Father to sanctify them through thy truth. The word sanctify means to render something holy, to dedicate or consecrate something to God. Jesus says that the truth of God has the power to cleanse us and to make us more like our Heavenly Father. I've heard it said that sin will either keep you from this book, the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. Which will it be for you and I? When we yield ourselves to the truth of God's word and walk as the Spirit directs us, we will find our life becoming not only cleaner, but our purpose more clearer. And more than anything, the ultimate, we will be pleasing to God. His truth sets us apart and cleans us up like nothing else. Like nothing else. Pastor has said it many of times. You can stop that behavior that you know that's not pleasing to God. 40, 50, 60, 100, maybe 1,000 times. May take you 10 years. but keep trying to stop. Keep saying this is not the truth. Help me in my unbelief. Jesus is faithful to help you. He desires that none be lost, not one. But truth tells us that there will be some. I encourage you to read Revelation, the book of love. The book of love, yes, that promises a blessings to all who reads it. He loves us so much. But there comes a day when the Alpha and the Omega, hallelujah, will come quickly. Will come quickly. And will reward us according to the work. Our works based on truth. Not based on what we thought was right to do. What brought us thus far has always been the sustaining power and love of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But if we do not understand the truth about who God is and what he has done, then our worship is warped. It's warped. Because truth has the power to invigorate. John 4:24. Thank you, Father. We thank you for your truth today. Hallelujah. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. See, I understand why Pastor wants our worship words to be words of truth. Because that's what the Father is looking for when we worship him. Do you really believe that he's a mighty God? Do you really believe the truth that he's a holy God? Do you really adore him because he set you free? Do you really mean it when you say you're going all the way? Do you mean it when you say you're not turning back? Because you're saying it to him. That is the ultimate understanding that I hope that we walk away with. That whatever we decide, we're saying it to him. We're demonstrating it to others, but we are saying it to him. That's why Jesus said, they're not offending you. The offense is against God. It's against God. And if we understand that truth, then many times we shouldn't become angry and upset. But grace reminds us just how frail we are and how much we need him. Thank you, Lord God, because real worship comes when the Holy Spirit takes the truth of God and makes it clear to us. When we comprehend who Jesus is, what he has done for us, and what he is doing, it will leave us at his feet in humble, simple worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In all your understanding, get what? Thank you. The wisdom of God. Get it. Pastor has often encouraged us to read a Proverbs a day. Read a Proverbs. When you read it, ask for the revelation, ask for the understanding, and then live it out. Ask them to work it out in your life. When they even asked him, what works must we do? Jesus didn't come back with anything plural. He said, the work is this, is to believe him who sent me. So if we believe the truth, it says a lot about how we live. It all goes back to that, the truth. Hallelujah. There's nothing like truth to put a spark in worship. Hallelujah. Now let's look at the personality of truth. We need to know where to find truth. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit led John to write it plainly. Notice that everything either stands or falls right here. John 17, where it says, your word is truth. Really? Your word. From Genesis 1 all the way to the end of Revelation. If Genesis 1:1 is wrong, then what does it, would you believe John 3:16? You see what I'm saying? His word is truth. If the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, and it is, it alone is the final authority and standard for living for all of life. Not just pastor, not just the elders or the ushers or the worshipers on the praise team or the mother's ministry, for all of life, for everything that God created, everything that has breath, give praise to the Lord. Everything. Everything. So we thank God for it. So how be it if the Bible is wrong and cannot believe? Then our foundation is totally destroyed. We would have no faith, no hope, no rules. Who would call the Bible a lie except for those who are blinded? And believe me, they are out there that calls the Bible a lie. But we have to stand. We have to take God's commandment and say that they are relevant for today. We have to do this. Because if we don't, we undermine the foundation. We have to tell society that the Bible can be trusted. Because if we don't, we undermine the foundation of truth. Once again, don't use the Bible as a buffet to make the way you want to think to be the right way. That's why Jesus said, everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Once again, think about Judas, finding truth, picking it up, but use it for his own selfish gain. Thank you, Lord. We thank God that we see why the Bible is so important. In its pages, we learn about God and his everlasting love and his faithfulness. We learn about the creation of man, sin, salvation, good and evil, the family, and Jesus' return and the blessed hope of our reunion with him. If that foundation was a lie, then everything is destroyed. Everything is destroyed. There would be no basis for truth. And if there is no truth, then everybody right is right. There would be no wrong. Thank God that we can trust the Bible, saints. It is the word of God. It is inspired. It is the truth without any error. Praise God that it can be believed, for it is forever settled in glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is forever settled in glory. We thank you, Lord, that the Savior is truth. John 14:16, Jesus plainly calls attention to the fact that he and he alone is the real deal. Jesus was and is the embodiment of truth. All others would be saviors are merely pretenders. It doesn't matter how many followers they have or how sincere their followers are. Jesus and Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus and Jesus alone is the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus and Jesus alone is the truth. All other men, that include me and you, are liars. Are liars. And all other methods that we use to try to make more of the truth than what it is a lie. And it leads people down a path of destruction. And what's so rarely talked about is where that destruction leads. We've got to tell people that there is a hell, because that is a truth. Hell is real. It is not. Someone said, Jehovah's Witness came to my door yesterday, and they keep coming, and I keep sharing the truth. They can't shake not coming, because, as they said yesterday, there is something about you. And one of them even said yesterday, you know, some people think that this is paradise for them. I say, well, for some it is. And they looked at me. I say, because if you reject truth, if you reject Jesus, if you deny that he is the Son of the living God, this is your paradise. As messed up, as jacked up as it is, because this paradise is under the influence of the power of Satan. He's the influence of the air. So they said to me, oh, I never thought about it that way. The truth will set you free. I will never run. I will never run from a Jehovah's Witness. I'll never run from a Muslim. I'll never run from anyone who don't know the truth. Pilate did not know the truth. That is our mission, to be the light of the truth. And the truth, it scrubs like a Brillo pad. And some people, you say, when we used to get cut to the white meat. That's what the truth does. It's a cleaning effect. Makes you whiter than snow. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus alone is the door onto the narrow way that leads to everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus. So in conclusion, as you have pondered what the truth is, what is truth? Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Even more to the point, Jesus is truth, because he is the self-expression of God. Because as I stated earlier, the very definition of truth flows from God. We must understand that it is the difference between being in light and in darkness. It's the difference between being in the kingdom of God and out. It is the difference between being saved and lost. We each have a responsibility now as believers to show that we are committed to the truth by obeying Jesus' word. Truth can have a powerful impact in and through our lives when we really believe it, don't reject it, accurately understand it, and experience the revelation of it. In closing, I want to take you to Revelations 22. If you was a part of Sunday school, thank you, Father. I received, and I looked, I said, oh, this is for me. Yeah, it's a Sunday school lesson. I said, okay, guess what? He said, close with the invitation. Revelation 22:12. Look, I am coming soon. That soon means quickly. Means quickly. You ain't got time. Quickly. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robe, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice martial magic arts, sexual immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride says, come, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. Hallelujah! 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 If anyone in here is an unbeliever, there is a proper response to the truth that you just heard today. Only two. Belief or unbelief. Belief or unbelief. Those are your, anytime you hear the truth, even as believers, when we get to those difficult places, belief or unbelief. The choice is yours, and it will determine who will guide you through life now and for eternity. I pray that you have received a blessing from the truth, the word of God. In Jesus' name, thank you. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. I am telling you, deliverance is in truth. Deliverance is in truth. His truth is out, church. His truth is out. receive it without doubt. If anything is causing you to live in a way that is unpleasing to God, and you know it, and you struggle with it, know that God has a timing to bring the manifestation of your life to the restored point, the way it will glorify him. Don't give up trusting the truth. Don't give up pressing forward in the truth. Don't forsake it. Don't forsake it. I thank God for the truth. I thank God for the truth. So let us bow our heads. If what you've heard today, which was the truth, the word of God, and it has become a reflection mirror to your life, where you're at right now, not yesterday, but where you're at right now, and if an area that you've just been crying out to God for, saying, help my unbelief in this area, Lord God. He said, according to thy faith, so be it. But see, you have to believe that. Can't be moved by what you think, by the temptations that still rear up in your bodies. You have to trust God. That minute by minute, second by second, that he's working it out for your good, for his glory, because you have surrendered your life to him. That's how it works out. The altar is open. If you thought you believed and you realize today that you haven't been believing, the altar is open. So we thank God. We thank you, Lord God, for your word has gone forth. Meet them where they're at, Father. We thank you. We thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.